You're listening to the Iterators of the Imperium.
Hi, I'm Mess, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Ryan, and you're listening to Season Quinky of the Iterators of the Imperium podcast. The podcast
just in which Ryan... every time.
The podcast in which Ryan is the expert of Warhammer 40k, and I'm the intermediate trying to learn about the Warhammer universe. Yes, last time we left off by our boy announcing himself, Gaskul Thraka. And I think we're going to build up from that today, right?
We're just continuing his story.
All right.
His story is a long one, so...
yeah.
Although, for the record, right, I'm going to tell you the title of, like, the next part of the storyline, right? Because...
Okay.
Timeline-wise, that we're in the origins of Gaskul Thraka at the moment, right?
Uh-huh.
And the next storyline part, like, the next, like, title I've got is The Second War for Armageddon. And I feel like I should point out that we have not talked about the First War for Armageddon, nor are we going to.
Wait, why?
Gaskul's not in the second, not in the First War for Armageddon. Like, orcs are nothing to do with the first war for that planet. It's only the second one. Gaskul rocks up and ruins everyone's day.
Nice.
So, fuck the first war for Armageddon until we're talking about people that are involved in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we do it this season.
That's it. We're orcs this time, man.
Hell yeah.
Also, because we're still talking about Gaskul, I don't really have, like, new visuals to show. So, like, there's Gaskul. This is the guy, okay? If you're ever, at any point in this, if I say Gaskul and you're like, oh, I've suddenly forgotten who the hell that is. It's him. It's this guy, right? Right here. That's your permanent reminder. No one is allowed to forget who Gaskul is at any point in Gaskul's storyline.
Exactly.
Cool. Now that we're all on the same page. Like you said, last time we left off with Gaskul beating Dregmek to the ground, or to death, really, is the correct term, and announcing who he was. Gaskul Mac Uruk Thraka, Prophet of Gorkan Mark. Such a cool title. Excessive, Gorkan, but cool.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
He's good at improv, by the way, I'm just saying. Like, he just came
on the spot. Really pulls the stuff out of his ass. So I should mention Dregmek was the leader of one of the clans, like one of the six main clans that we mentioned, but also he was the leader of the town Rustspike that they're in. I also should have mentioned this last time. You know how I said that Gaskul killed him with like a final headbutt? When the headbutt struck, there was a bolt of green lightning that hit the rusted spike the town is named after. At like the exact same time. As if it was like a message from Gorkan Mark.
That he's here and he means business. And you guys better... Yeah.
Yeah. So after that, Gaskul was kind of just accepted by everyone in Rustspike as the new leader because he just killed their old leader. And that's basically how it works with orcs. He's the biggest guy in town. He killed the old biggest guy in town. That makes him the boss. That's kind of how it works. Everyone just accepted it. Yeah, like real life. That's how people should become president in America. It'd be much funnier.
Like big battle royale.
Anyone who's willing to go into it can. Obviously, you'll definitely end up with some like totally random old man who's been hoarding guns for 40 years who ends up winning. But like, I mean, that's clearly a prepared man, so maybe he'd be good at it. I don't know.
It might be. You never know.
It might be. Anyway. back to what we're talking about. So, Gaskul's in charge of town now, right? Also, he picks a random one of Dregmek's like underlings, this weirdly skinny orc who's taller. He was taller than Dregmek by like an entire foot, but he's like weirdly skinny. He's not like a big orc, he's just a tall orc. It's quite strange to look at. He picks this guy and is just like, you're in charge now of the rest of the Death Skulls as long as you follow me. And the guy's just like, they bar. Whatever you say, okay. Big man.
Yeah.
So he kind of treats that guy like a second in command, because the bulk of the orcs he has now are Death Skulls, right? They were just Dragmex guys before. And this guy has now been kind of deputized. So he's like, right, for the time being, you're just my second in command. I'm going to tell you what I need done. You're going to get it done.
Yeah.
So Ghazghoul takes over a building as like his boss fort, which used to be an old starship, but it doesn't work because it's crashed into a planet or half submerged in a planet. So they hollowed out and turned it into a slaughterhouse. But I mean, it was a ship at one point, so it's armored to hell and back. So he's like, that's my house now, deal with it. So he takes over that as his boss fort. And the big weird tall orc, his name is Bullets. He's a weirdly lucky orc. He got called Bullets. I think his actual name is like finds bullets when he should have been out of bullets or something like that, or finds bullets when he thought he had shot them all. Mm-hmm. So they just call him Bullets. Anyway, so he gets Bullets to start, you know, getting a bunch of projects going in town for him. And the primary thing is, like, the reason this town exists is because there's a giant spaceship crashed here, right? So there's loads of, like, rubble and debris and stuff of, like, high-tech shit around the area. So he gets Bullets to get all the orcs to go and start ransacking all, mining it out for all the materials they can get, right? And because they've got this sudden influx of, like, technology and scrap metal and stuff, the town basically becomes rich overnight. So suddenly, Rust spikes on the up and up. New leader, new, you know, source of income. It's looking good.
Nice.
Yeah. And in the kind of short time that follows, I think it's actually like 2 days later or 3 days later or something. It's a very short time. The story of Ghazghoul Thraka, prophet of Gork and Mork, starts to spread. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of orcs from like nearby smaller tribes are like, well, fuck this for a game of spades. Gonna go join that guy. He sounds like he's doing cool shit. So the town starts to fill up a bit more. So I think it's that must be like day two that starts to happen. Day three, Ghazghoul has to set up the big rule, which is orcs from any clan can come to Rustspike and join them and not get killed if they follow Ghazghoul. Right? Don't give a shit what clan you're in. No one is going to kill you. They might beat the crap out of you, but no one's going to kill you as long as you follow the big boss. He needs all the guys he can get. That's the whole point here. So the next thing you know, the whole town is filled with orcs of various sizes, clans, and colours, brawling like, well, orcs. So Ghazghoul pulls Makari aside to talk to him, right? Do you remember Makari, his wee grot friend, his wee helper?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pulls him aside to talk to him. He's like, right, I've realised this isn't going to last, this brawling in the streets all the time, all the mixed clans and that. It's not going to work. Town's too full, and the orcs aren't allowed to kill each other, remember? Because he needs them to be alive. They can beat the crap out of each other, but they can't kill each other, so it's not the same for them. So he's like, this ain't gonna last. They're not gonna be okay with this for too long. They're gonna get bored, and bored orcs are bad, especially if you're trying to have a plan. So he's like, right, we need to get the whole planet on the same page. I need to take over the entire planet and get them all working together, like I did with Rustspike. That's what Ghazghoul's thinking. And there are 5 other clans, because he already has one of them, because he killed Dregmeg. So there's 5 others, including his old clan, because remember, he used to be a goth. He has to go and take on all their leaders, but not the same way he did with Dregmek. He can't just go around killing them all. It was too messy, right? Like, that only worked because of, you know, the miracle that was him surviving about 1 million bullets being fired at him, and then a magical lightning bolt headbutt from the gods. That's the only reason the town followed him. If he just goes and kills leader of another clan at their base, then all that will happen is another person will become the new leader, right? Mm-hmm. It has to, like, make their leader join him. So it's going to be a bit different, but he decides, I'm going to go meet every one of the clan bosses and challenge them to a challenge of their choice. They get to pick what I have to beat them at. So it can be something that I've got no chance of beating them at. But with Gork and Mork as witnesses, I will beat them, and they will not be able to deny that I won or claim I cheated, right? And they'll have to take his side. That's the whole idea here. So Damn. He goes to Bullets, and he's like, right, I'm off, but I'm coming back with a planet. And he sods off out of town. So he has to go around all five of the other war bosses and, you know, bring them into line. So first up is the Evil Sons. These are like the speed freaks, the ones that like going really fast with the big cars and stuff. Yeah. Their boss is a guy called Shazfrag. Stupid ass name. Shazfrag
sounds like something from Borderlands. I'm sorry.
It does. I'll be honest with you. Everything in the orc sounds like something from Borderlands.
Actually, yeah.
And this particular part of the story is very Borderlands because Shazfrag challenges Ghazcool to a race, and he has this big ass truck basically built of scrap metal. And Ghazcool is like, nay bother. And he pulls out this like 3-wheeled motorbike made of rusty crap that immediately anyone can tell will never win. And the race starts, and Makari's hanging onto the back of Ghazcool's bike, truck, tricycle thing, I don't know. And miraculously, Ghazcool is keeping up with Shazfrag in his big fancy red truck. There's the thing, right? Ghazcool hadn't even painted his fucking bike red to make it go faster. So it's a goddamn miracle he's keeping up with this fucker. But he's keeping up with him. So Shazfrag tries to shoot him. Shazfrag tries to just bolter a gun to the side, blow Ghazcool to pieces so that he wins. And that's not cheating, because no one said no shooting. So, it's perfectly fine. Ghazcool doesn't even notice this. He's just focused on driving. But Makari notices it and tries to, like, throw something at him and make him miss. So he just grabs some random bit of crap and launches it at Shazfrag. Miraculously, it goes into the bolter, or, like, the barrel of his gun. And when he fires, it explodes, sending him off course. Dude's big truck starts skidding out of control and plows into a big rocky outcrop. Luckily for Shazfrag, he jumped out of the truck. He did jump out into another rock, but and break like every bone in his body, but that's a separate issue. Mm-hmm. He was not in the car crash, technically. He was adjacent to the car crash in a separate crash. So, naturally, as you might imagine, as far as the race goes, Ghazcool wins, because the other guy's plastered into a rock like Wile E. Coyote. I like to think he like, came away from it flattened like a cartoon character and had to like blow himself back up. So, Ghazcool goes back to him and is like, look, I clearly won. What's the deal? And Shazfrag's like, you know what? I'm gonna follow you. Because whatever you're going to do is going to be a hell of a lot more entertaining than anything else going on this fucking planet. Let's do this, boss.
Easy.
Easy mode. All it took was a miracle. So, Ghazcool moves on to the next boss. The next boss is Snazdaka, the Mega Admiral. The stupidest name. This guy thinks he's like a pirate captain, but all he has is a bunch of trucks. He thinks they're like boats.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Right? So he refers to them as like ships and stuff. He's just a moron, is the point here. So he challenges Ghazcool to a sea battle. It's literally just a fight using what is essentially homemade tanks. There is no water involved. I cannot make that clear enough. There is no water. There are no boats. No one is an admiral. But
it's like Mad Max shit, you know.
Yeah, but they just have a quote unquote sea battle.
Well, it means
Ghazcool ends up destroying all of Snazdaka's quote unquote fleet of boats, And in return for not killing Snazdaka, Ghazghoul got his power claw. See that giant metal fucking claw he's wielding? That's what he got for winning a quote-unquote sea battle against the guy who's never seen water in his life.
Fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair trade.
Mm-hmm.
Next up was the Snake Bites. Their leader was Grudbolg, which is such a horrible name to try and say.
Yeah.
An L and a G do not belong together that close like that. I'll accept it the other way around, like glove, but I'm not accepting Grudbolg.
That sounds kind of weird.
So, as you might notice, they typically challenge the boss typically challenges Ghazghoul to a challenge in keeping with the theme of their clan, right? So, mm-hmm. like, the first one was speed, second one, it's all about the big fucking vehicles and stuff. The Snake Bites are the Beastmasters. So, do you have a guess what the challenge might have been? You think, like, big animals and stuff. What do you challenge someone to with that? I feel like there's a few reasonable options, right? Like, maybe, like, some kind of, I don't know, like a hunt, maybe? Like, oh, go hunt the biggest animal. You know, like the Emperor and Vulcan did, hunt the biggest salamander. They could have done something like that. That would have made sense. Or maybe some kind of, like, arena battle with big animals running around as well to make it harder, something like that. No.
That's my surviving? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Right? There was loads of good on-brand options. Grudbolg instead goes for a knife fight in a swamp.
I mean... No, that's...
Never let him know your next move.
I guess. Yeah, actually. Really.
Yeah. So, they have a knife fight in a swamp, and it ends with Ghazghoul pulling the guy's head off.
Wait, he was not supposed to kill them, though.
Oh, yeah, he pulled his head off, or he demanded that he joined him, pulled his head off when he refused, then stuck it back on till his spine regrew, then demanded he joined him again. The guy refused again, so he did it a couple more times and eventually agreed to join him.
I shouldn't say anything. I was about to say that's not how anatomy works. Yep. I was about to say that's not how anatomy works, but like you're saying, they're orcs.
They're mushroom men.
Their mushroom probably works. Magical as well.
Yeah.
God damn.
They believed it would work, so it worked, okay? That's the rules. So the next one was Ugrak, who is the Goth leader. This guy is thought of as the biggest orc on Urk. Biggest orc on the planet, this guy, right? So this is the leader of Ghazghoul's old clan, the one he used to be a part of. And he's the biggest dude on the planet. You gotta remember that Goths are just like the most stereotypical orcs physically possible. They just want to brawl all the time. So he challenges Ghazghoul to a brawl. But a very particular kind. You're only allowed to use one kind of attack. Headbutts.
Okay. Oh my god.
Now, I'm going to throw out there. Ugrak is not a smart man. Like, you know how some orcs are smart and some orcs are strong? I'm going to go ahead and say Ugrak was definitely on the strong side of that scale. Because he saw an orc that, by the way, when they came face to face, right, you gotta remember, everyone on the planet regards Ugrak as the biggest orc on the planet. These two come face to face, and Ghazghoul looks like... What's the way to talk about this? Ghazghoul makes Ugrak look like a newborn. That's the size difference by this point. That's how much Ghazghoul has grown by beating, like, all these different war bosses and stuff. He is a goddamn giant now. And this guy was like, headbutt contest, let's do this. You're like, you're challenging a guy four times your height with a skull made of fucking titanium. Why?
Yeah.
Like, should have challenged him to, like, what was that, the game in South Park? Rochambeau kicking each other in the nuts. That would have made more sense.
He should have challenged to a game of, like, hide and seek.
Now, arm wrestling would have been more reasonable, and this guy's got a metal fucking hand. you might imagine Ugrak got headbutted into submission pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there really wasn't another option there. And the final clan boss was General Stratagem, which is in no way spelled correctly. He is the leader of the Blood Axes, which are the non-orky orcs, the ones that, like, are smart and sneaky and plan stuff.
Yeah. Right?
So the night of the day that Ghazghoul headbutted Ugrak into submission, General Stratagem just comes to him on his balcony and is like, dude, we're in, we're joining you. Like, no contest, no fighting, he's just like, I'm on board.
Yep.
Yeah. It is said that General Stratagem came within stabbing range of Ghazghoul to show respect.
Okay. That's a way to phrase it.
Yeah. Brave man gets within stabbing range of that guy, though, to be fair. I think it's a brave man gets within stabbing range of any orc, to be honest with you. But with that, Ghazghoul finds himself in this odd spot where he has all the tribes on Urk, and he has basically control of the entire planet now, but he doesn't want Urk. He wants to turn the stars green. He wants to be out in the void. He wants to be out in space doing stuff. Fuck Urk. Urk's small fry, right?
Uh-huh.
So what he needs is he needs all the orcs and all their clans and everything to work together and play nice. Which is a big ask for orcs. It's like literally against their genetics.
It's to ask like a full room full of toddlers, like in a kindergarten, to be quiet. It's not gonna
happen. Like asking a fire to put itself out.
Exactly. It's not gonna
happen. Yeah, it's just not gonna happen, yeah. So for the first while, he basically just distracts the orcs by setting them against, like, the outlier faction. You know, the, like, the orcs that aren't in one of the six main clans, but still have a little squad. He's like, ah, just go and kill the stragglers. Fuck them. We don't want... There's, like, six of them. Just go kill them. Like, fuck them. So he basically just has them go around and, like, cleanse the planet till it's just his guys left. So he has total control. But he doesn't care. It's purely a distraction while he, like, gets his plan in order.
Yeah.
And luckily, Snazdaka was working on something. See, Snazdaka always wanted to have a nuclear war. He just thought it sounded like a fun thing to do. So he had built a bunch of nukes. These gigantic fucking nukes. Like intercontinental missile style things, right? And unfortunately, there was no one to nuke now. But Ghazghoul had an idea. So what we do is we take the payload out of them, put in like a crew compartment, and we'll use it to launch our dudes into space. The missiles were not designed for space travel, so they didn't do very well, but they were able to take over the two moons around Urk. Mm-hmm. And as you may remember, when humanity took over this planet again, when the Dark Angels took over, they built spaceports on both of the moons. So there were orcs on the moons, but they were like weird skinny orcs. And they were a slightly weird colour. They were slightly pale and stuff like that. But they had spaceships. Not very good ones, and none that could do what Ghazghoul needed to do. But they were able to recruit these idiots and, you know, gain a bunch of, like, empty bulk hauler ships and stuff like that. Ancient ones that barely worked, because they've been there for a million years and orcs have been ripping bits off them all the time. But he still gained them. Gained their scrap. So, again, we go back to this point where Ghazghoul is trying to, like, keep everyone on the same page, but everything's getting more and more out of hand. And then the sky lights up with rocket flares from ships, and it's a shipload of spaceships all flying Ghazghoul's banner. Because once they started taking over the moons and stuff, word spread even further to all the, like, tiny planets that also orbit the same star Urk orbits.
Mm-hmm.
about Ghazcool, they heard about him and was like, oh, we're going to go join that guy. So they just built spaceships to come and join him. Unfortunately, they are very small and shitty spaceships. Again, not suited for what Ghazcool wants, but he's getting closer. He's getting closer. We're going in the right direction here. And actually, around this point, I should mention, right, Ghazcool gets, like, debilitating headaches, and he basically just punches himself in the head until they go away. But it usually lines up with, like, he needs an answer to something, which is the kind of thing he would ask the gods, like, what do I do next? What, you know what I mean? How should I move forward? Yeah. Then he'll get these mad headaches, punch himself in the head till it goes away, and suddenly have the answer. So this is like the gods talking to him.
Okay.
Right? You gotta remember, though, half his head is missing and has been replaced by a metal plate, so it might just be, like, brain trauma. But whatever. Right? It's his brain trauma, he'll decide the rules. So that kind of starts going on around this point pretty heavily, and he realizes, the thing that comes out of this time is that Gork is not giving him the tools to handle this situation. But Mork will happily give him the tools to handle this situation. What he needs to do is give his clan, his mass army, of his planet worth of orcs, a beating of the mind. Which is one of my favourite sayings ever.
The mind.
Yeah, you know how you can, like, beat someone into submission and they'll lie there all calm for a while because they're unconscious? Essentially that, but, like, mentally.
Huh. Stunned him.
Kinda, yeah. Because what he needs is, he needs all the orcs that are being, like, typical orcs, being all savage and feral and stuff, to chill the fuck out for 5 minutes and wait for his plan to kick off, right? But he can't convince them to do that. So he's like, no, I need to give them a beating of the mind. I need them to chill the fuck out. Like, a reverse speech, right? Like, he's not trying to inspire them. He's trying to get them to chill out, right?
Yeah.
So it's like the opposite of a war speech. So he gives this big-ass speech, standing on his balcony, talking to, like, every orc and urk, basically. It's like, look, you guys all want a big fight. You guys are following me for the sake of getting the fight you guys have always dreamed of. But it's not on this fucking planet. It's up in the stars. So, you guys need to deal with the pain of not fighting. And you need to get to work for when that time comes, for when the time for war arrives, so that you're ready. And he kind of just sets them to work. By the end of his speech, he's like commanding them, like, you guys are going to fucking make weapons, you guys are going to make fuel, you guys are going to mine everything you can, we're going to get to work, and you're not going to fight, you're going to deal with it, you're going to bide your time. It's that weird grot saying of, hide today, stab him tomorrow, right? He's trying to get that into their heads. And by the end of his speech, every orc in the planet basically is chanting with him. So, they all set to work, right? They are mining every bit of scrap metal they can, they are making fuel, they are forging weapons, they're doing everything they can. And it only becomes relevant at this point, so I hadn't mentioned it until now, but the star that Urk orbits is, like, in its death throes. The star is going cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the planet starts to get really fucking cold. And if you'll remember, it was, like, a snowy winter planet to begin with.
Yeah.
So it's getting real fucking cold now that the star's starting to go dark. So it progresses to a point that the orcs are all huddling around the same forge they're using to make weapons just for warmth. And eventually we get to a stage where there are no more weapons to make. There's no more metal to smith into weapons. It's all been made into weapons. There's no more fuel to distill. It's all been distilled. All the work is done, but the time hasn't came yet, and it's getting colder and colder. So the orcs all basically go into hiding. They just all go huddle in the houses and pray they fucking make it to the next day. But this whole time, since that speech that Ghazcool gave, he has been standing on that balcony, just bearing the cold, like a sentinel of hope for the town. So every time one of them was like, oh god, it's freezing out here, fuck this, they would look up and just see their massive war boss still standing in the exact same position, and they're like, nah, you know what, if he can deal with it, I can deal with it, and they keep working.
Yeah, motivation fiction.
That's exactly it. Gazkul does not move for weeks, right? It gets to a stage that it's so cold that there's like an ice shell over his entire body, and like Makari has been with him holding the banner, trying to like stave off the cold too. And after like weeks of this, he's watching Gazkul and he's like, hold on, that fucker's not moving. And he goes over and like jabs him with a banner pole, and he's like, oh shit, sorry, just forgot to breathe for a while there. Like, that's how long this fucker is out there. And eventually the time comes in the sky above the planet, because there's no clouds or anything at this point, you can just see into space. There's this sudden big burst of fucking colour as a big warp rift opens randomly, and through it comes a Space Hulk. Do you remember what a Space Hulk is?
Those giant ass thingy things.
The big conglomeration of like 40 ships that have all been jammed together in the warp.
Yeah.
So they just dive in and out of the warp randomly, right? Because like you've got 40 ships, some of which will have functioning systems, so some of them will still be able to go into the warp, but they just drag the whole thing with it, and they activate at random because the ships are like only partially intact. So this thing just fucks around the galaxy randomly, in and out of reality. This thing happens to have spawned directly above this planet. But it's not coming towards the planet, it's going past it. But this is the moment that Gazkul has been waiting for. So he just breaks off his ice shell, and he's standing there with, like, steam pissing off his body, like some character of fucking Dragon Ball Z or something. And he just starts screaming at the tyrant, he's like, get your fucking boots on, it's time, get ready for war! Suddenly, every orc that's still alive bursts into the streets, like trying to get their gear on and everything, like, getting all their plans in motion, all their orders are coming to fruition. So the first thing they do is they fire up these, like, basically tow chains that link the Space Hulk to the planet. One, to slow it down so they can get aboard, and two, to, like, anchor it around the planet to give them more time to get aboard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they start firing off a bunch of Snazdaka's rockets that have been turned into boarding missiles. So the whole idea is you just crash them into the thing, and anyone that's in it that survives just bursts out inside it.
Yeah.
Great plan. Truly perfect plan. So they start launching orcs at this thing. And the next thing, Gazkul drags Makari inside his big tower, and then blast shutters start coming down and seal the whole thing off. It's because, as you'll remember, it's a starship. In the time that, like, all the orcs have just been working and working and working, and Gazkul was just standing there, he had all, like, the weird boys fixing the starship he was living in so it would fly again, and painting it red so it would fly faster.
Nice.
So they just crashed the whole goddamn building into the side of this Space Hulk. The next thing you know, you have an entire planet's worth of orcs bursting out of these ships inside the Space Hulk, which is infested with demons.
Great. Go nuts.
Absolutely wonderful. And now you've just got this massive brawl going on as the orcs gradually make their way through the Space Hulk, killing off as many demons as they can till they have control of the thing.
Hmm.
Yeah. So now, your boy has a way to get through space. He has a way to get to the stars that he wants to conquer.
Nice.
And I'll tell you now, that is the origin of Gazkul Mac Uruk Thraka.
I like it a lot.
I don't think I've missed out any major parts for the end of that, but if I have, I will summarize them in the next episode briefly. But I think next time we're getting onto the second War for Armageddon.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, and it's still our boy Gazkul. We're continuing the story.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. This is what I was waiting for. This is what I wanted for this podcast from day one. I wanted to just be working our way through really fun stories with cool characters.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
This is the good shit.
Yeah.
And if anyone has an issue with that, I challenge you to a knife fight in a swamp. That's going to be my go-to duel. I don't know where I'm going to find a swamp in Scotland, but I'm sure there's one somewhere.
Probably.
The whole country is wet and hilly. I'm sure there's a swamp somewhere.
We'll make one.
What?
We'll make one. Never.
That'll be our side channel. We're going to make a second YouTube channel. It's just a progress thing of me and Maze building a swamp in Scotland.
DIY.
It'll either be incredibly difficult or incredibly easy and basically done for us by the natural environment. I don't know which, but we'll find out when we get there.
It's a plan.
All right, would you like to round out?
Sure thing. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Iterators of the Period Podcast Season Quinky. It's been me, Mess, and Ryan, and we will see you in the next one. Take care and peace.
Bye.